G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Ah, thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, hello on this Monday morning, Roo. How was your weekend?
Very well, Dits. Very well. Had a good weekend. A bit of a solid weekend.
Yep.
So over to Melbourne for the Cox Plate.
Oh, gee, it was tight.
Heart was in the mouth a little bit there for a while and it was coming down the straight, but... Found another gear and created history.
In your lifetime, where does it sort of sit as far as sporting moments go? To see it live in the flesh, what was it like?
Yeah, no, it was a great feeling. The whole track was chock-a-block and there was a massive roar when it came around the top end. It looked like she was going to win by a fair way, but the second horse ran the race of its life and put up a real fight for it and probably made it even better. So... it was a great day. It really was. Well done to all the connections.
My highlight was Friday when you rang me and you said, look up in the sky now. And there you were going in a Learjet and a private jet.
I was lucky I was with someone else on that.
What's coming up today,
Rick? Yesterday when we come in, you saw on the news last night, all the planes had to come in sort of
sideways.
Half sideways.
Yeah.
It was that strong, the winds yesterday, Yeah, that's how they all had to come in down.
So you came in over Semaphore and it blew you sideways into Glenelg.
Just landed on the strip, so we're a bit lucky. We're going to have a chat to Jeff Horn later. He's getting ready for another fight in December. He's got another world title fight. We're going to have a chat to Jeff Lawrence Mooney. He's going to join us as well today. Yeah, we'll have a chat to Moons.
And our Monday phone-in. I wonder if Tex will ring in or Tommy Tai Chi. You never know, do you, with our Monday phone-in?
Yep.
It's Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:08 on this Monday morning, Ruined Dits for Breakfast, top of 17 today. Roo, the stories that are making news around the world and locally, you know the Pretenders are on their way here, next month?
In November, I think they are.
So yep. Stevie Nicks and Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders are playing in Botanic Park.
Yep.
Nothing pretentious about Chrissy Hynde, she just calls it as it is. In Dubai over the weekend, she's come out on stage and told the crowd they're a mob of C's. Use the C word.
What? Oh,
yeah,
what?
All of you. You are all a mob of.
Were they getting into it?
No. You know what they were doing, which I think is normal in this day and age. All they were doing was using their phones for a bit of, you know, taking a bit of footage.
They do that everywhere.
Now, I reckon. Anyway, she
had a bad night's sleep.
Did not like it at all and just stormed off. And then anyway, the concert continued and she refused to do an encore and she hadn't played her great songs yet, so they didn't get to hear anything.
Oh, no.
The only reason I mention it is because, she's on her way to Adelaide. So do not get your phone out in Adelaide, please.
Wow.
Don't upset her.
That happens everywhere all the time.
Well, that's what
it's
I reckon.
It's not abnormal.
I would have thought it was the norm these days.
It's almost a compliment if you want to look at it like that. She's worthy of getting filmed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
but yeah, drop the C. And you know what? I reckon if you drop the C-bomb in Dubai, it's a very dangerous thing to do.
Oh, yes.
You can get a public stoning for things like
cool,
that.
It's good call.
Yeah. Hey, what about the biggest thing that happened in Adelaide over the weekend? Don't tell me that Adelaide misses out, please. Mm-hmm. We had the Vegan Festival over the weekend.
In Victoria Square.
What happens at a vegan festival?
I don't know, but that plane that you were talking about that I was on was Thomas Farms, who are the biggest meat producers in Australia. I thought it was quite funny that we drove straight past them on the way back in the morning. I didn't see their stand there.
They all sit around and eat the grass or something. What do they do at a vegan festival?
They do, Dits. I don't know what they do, but there was a big show in there. I don't know what they get up to.
There wouldn't be too many of those food vans around the joint, would there?
Well, there would be. There wouldn't be any meat in there, I wouldn't have thought. No. But you didn't decide to bob along for...
Couldn't make it.
Couldn't make it.
I was at the hamburger shop, unfortunately.
One thing you would be interested in, Dits, is that we are running out of wine.
Get out.
There's going to be a wine shortage in 2018, which...
Why?
Don't know. I think a lot of people pulled grapes out for a couple of years because they weren't worth much in South Australia, and there's a bit of a shortage. I know the Chinese are getting a real taste for it now. So then I think the exports grew 50% of their last year. So that's where it's going.
Apparently the Chinese are funny though. They don't even know what they're drinking. Like they reckon you can give them a bottle of Grange and they'll mix it with Coke or something just to change the taste. That one's a bit, I don't like that one. I'll just put a bit of Coke in it.
Well, that's why I'm making the wine go a bit longer if we start mixing it with Coke.
That's right.
I'm sure we can get plenty of Coke.
So they reckon it's funny. They can get our real, real top wines and just not even appreciate it or know what they're drinking, but they think it looks good. Mm. Better buy Grange because it sounds right. Mm. And then they mix stuff with it. Unbelievable.
Run with that for a while.
And just finally, The Block. Now, I haven't seen 1 minute of The Block this year or any other year, actually. But I see where last night it reached its peak. And they auctioned off the house, and Hughesy bought it.
Hughesy paid $3 million for one.
Over $3 million, and they reckon it was a compulsive buy. He was just driving past. Said, oh, that little crowd there, that looks all right.
Sure.
And he's dropped over $3 million.
Bloody hell, it wouldn't be a good area.
Mm.
Is it a house or an apartment?
Oh, I don't know. Do you happen to know? No, Alana?
No, I have no idea.
Can't help us out?
I thought it might have been a house.
Thanks for that input, Alana.
No, you're welcome. I'm here to help.
Where's Mel the button pusher? What's going on? Anyway, $3 million, and he's not even going to live in it. He's going to just rent it out, he reckons.
What?
Mm.
Not in his main residence?
No. Just a little...
He can't be making that much. Little cracking gags.
Little investment. Yeah, that's the other point of this. I think Pete Hellier's house sold for a fortune as well last year. We need to get into a bit of stand-up.
Yeah.
If only we were funny.
I reckon we'd be living in a unit, though, Dits.
A flat. Yeah. All right, that's what's making news around the place. Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Top of 17 today, but it's a bit wild out there, Roo.
Yeah, it's going to be wet all day by the looks of it. Maybe even a little bit of hail around they're talking about. So we've had, I think there was 11 fires across the state yesterday, so... Mm. Timely rain.
Help to douse them. Time for our Monday phone in, 133353. We love it when we open up the phones. We've got a few people waiting on the line right now. Let's go to our first caller. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, g'day, Roo. G'day, Dits. It's Murray on the Murray. Yeah, long-time listener, lot-time caller.
Yeah, you have been ringing a bit lately, Muzz. How is it up on the river?
Yeah, well, there's a cold snap coming through. I like to look at the wet bulb and the dry bulb, and I watch the weather, and it's going to be a cold snap up here, but that's not what I'm ringing for.
Right, what are you ringing about, Murray?
And I was talking with Brackets at the hotel.
Hang on. Why is he called Brackets?
Well, I used to play footy with him, and he was really fat, and he wore number 11.
Right. Fair enough. Righto. So what Brackets have to say?
Well, Brackets reckons that he heard this rumour, right? He says that, the block, he reckons, the block had the finale up there.
Yeah.
He reckons they haven't revealed it yet, but he reckons the winners get Sophie Monk. I don't know if it's true.
Well, we'll have to check up on that. Let's see what happens in the weeks to come.
All right, see you, boys.
Righto. See you, Murray. Righto. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello, this is Johnny Depp.
Who's
Johnny
that?
Depp?
It's Johnny Depp. I'm just ringing from LA. I just wanted to see that there's a bus that I'd like to see driving down the road. It's got karma written on it.
Right, the karma bus. Is this anything to do with Barnaby Joyce?
Well, he was apparently your assistant prime minister there.
Yeah, deputy.
He might have been sacked.
Yeah, deputy. That's right, yeah.
So just on behalf of Pistol and Boo, I want to say goodbye, Barnaby.
Righto. All right. So he's on that karma bus. All right. Johnny Depp calling in. That's big for us on a Monday morning.
No, we go far and wide. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Christopher, it's your mother.
Oh, g'day, Mum. There you go.
Christopher,
yeah.
You're a very good squash player.
Yeah.
You've made it on the radio, but, you know, I was having to think about it with one of your relations. Why don't you and Kate make some nerve yourselves? Why don't you go on MKR? Or why don't you get on the next episode of The Block? Make a bit of a name for yourself.
Well, I've never been into the reality shows, Mum, to be honest. No.
Well, have you apologised to that Eugene McClellan yet? And Chris, don't burn your bridges. The head of the AFL, you had the run-in with him.
Oh, Gillon McLachlan?
That's right. Have you apologised to him yet?
Look, I haven't yet. No, I haven't got round to it.
Well, anyway, you ring your mother more often, you don't do it enough.
Right, Mum.
Because you give him a spray all the time.
Mum's gone. Righto. She's gone. She just hangs up.
We got one more call.
I think we got time for. Hello. Good morning.
Hey, good boys. It's Tex.
G'day, Tex.
Tex, Dad.
How you going?
I just ring up to confirm that. Remember, we were talking the other day. But Claudia Paul wasn't that bright.
No, that's right. Yeah,
Claudia Paul, the Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah,
the Rhodes Scholar
from Broken Hill.
We went to school together. You know, she didn't even follow football or didn't know anything about football or sport.
Right.
Mm.
You can be good at, you can't be good at everything, but she was, her general knowledge wasn't, she, as I said, she copied my homework a fair bit. So
yeah.
Mm. Anyway, I won't keep you
because
it's off season, but. I don't know where you heard about this drunk bloke that went into the greengrocer and he said, I want 4 pounds of tomatoes. Uh-huh. And the greengrocer said, we call them kilos now. And he said, all right, I'll have 4 pounds of kilos.
Yeah, right. Right. All right. Get on your Tex. Thanks for that, mate. Okay. See you, Tex. There you go. That's all we've got time for with our Monday phone in, thank God.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with Ruined Its. Roo, I think I can say for most of us, we saw the best fight we've seen in decades earlier this year, didn't we?
It was awesome, wasn't it? Absolutely.
Right from the opening punch to the final bell, it was amazing.
And we ended up with a new world champion in Australia too. We don't have too many, but we've got one now, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Jeff Horn.
Hey, Ruined Its.
How are you?
Not bad. How are you
Is
going?
Is your head healed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Be worried if it wasn't by now.
No, exactly. You're a bit closed over there, after the last fight. How long does it take to recover from a decent blow?
Yeah, it was. I was banged up from the head clashes and the punches and the rest of it, but my mum still loved me.
A face only your mum could love, eh?
Yeah.
Jeff, I just said there in the intro, the best fight we've seen in a long, long time. Did you feel that? And I don't know how many times you've watched the replay over and over, but it really was a ding-dong battle for the whole time. You know, we see a lot of fights where the boxers are dancing around and avoiding each other. You two just went at it the whole time.
Yeah, and I knew I had to do that with Pacquiao to win the fight. I knew I couldn't just stand there and just try and clip him every now and again, because he's the type of fighter that throws punches and bunches, and I need to overlap him when he punched, so the referee saw that I was winning the fight.
Yep.
Did you scare him off? Did you? He doesn't want to come back.
We don't know that yet. I think he's made an excuse saying that his political career is in the way for the rest of this year,
right?
Which is when the rematch clause is up.
So
I don't need to accept the rematch anymore with him, but I still will, because I want to be the only person to beat him twice.
Yeah, all right. Well, on December 13, up there in Brisbane, you're taking on Englishman Gary Hellraiser Corcoran. Now, he's got a pretty good record as well, 17 wins and one loss, but what do you know about him? What sort of fighter is he?
Yeah, he's got a very similar record that I do, but he hasn't fought a world champion like Manny Pacquiao, and I know that he comes to fight, and he's going to be throwing plenty of punches, and he's a bigger guy. He's a lot bigger than Pacquiao, so he'll be evenly matched size-wise with me, and we'll see what happens. He reckons he's going to be non-stop and wear me down, but I see it going the opposite way.
When you get face-to-face like you boys did the other day, and you're 2 inches away and you can smell their bad breath and whatever, do you ever get tempted? Have you ever hated one of your opponents that much? You just sort of feel like giving them one there?
Look, it's always an awkward situation to just be staring at them in the eyes, and it's meant to be like this angry thing, but I'm not really that angry at them. It's just I'm just focusing to try and see if they're kind of scared or whatever, but they're usually not. And if you've got bad breath or you feel like you're looking into someone's loving eyes, you can't sometimes help but crack a smile.
Now, Jeff, you're a primary school teacher. What was the reaction from your kids, from your class? Are they all wanting to be boxers now?
Oh, I haven't been back to school for a while.
Okay.
It's been a couple of years since I've been back at school, but when I do go and visit, they're all very excited to see me. And I used to, after some of my fights as a professional, I used to go have actually even show and tell with my lower grades and show them the belt, and they were all like, oh, this is so cool.
Oh, this is going to be a huge fight, December the 13th, and you can watch it on Foxtel's Main Event channel. Go to www.mainevent.com.au.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks so much for joining us, mate, and good luck with your training and the build-up to the big fight on December 13. It's Jeff the Hornet Horn taking on Gary Hellraiser Corcoran. Jeff, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Roo. Thanks, Ditz.
Good on you, mate. Well done. And once again, Roo, just it's Foxtel's main event, and they'll broadcast the fight live.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point.
Ruin Ditz, $1,000 pressure test.
Oh, I can't remember the last time we gave away the $1,000, Roo.
Should do it today then, Ditz.
Yeah, righto. Who have you got there?
Let's go to Athelstan. G'day, Mark.
Morning, Roo. Morning, Ditz.
How are you today?
Yeah, pumped.
What are you up to?
Just driving back from Port Hughes after just a weekend fishing there.
Fantastic. Right. Now, what did you catch?
Had a bit of a dirty weekend.
Oh, no. So, no.
Just a couple of whiting, but yeah, it wasn't quite the same as a few weekends ago. Still, when we did well.
A weekend in Port Hughes can't be that bad, though. Beautiful.
Nah.
Yeah. All right, Mark. Now, I want to celebrate something this morning, Roo. You know, it was over the weekend for 2 days in Victoria Square. It was Vegan Festival Adelaide.
You don't like the vegans.
No, I do. I love them. But to celebrate, Mark, to celebrate the vegans, in 30 seconds, give us 10 things you'd ask for in a butcher shop.
Okay. Sausages, Italian sausages, hamburgers, chops, steak, mince. Skewers, kebabs, lamb roasts, beef roasts, chicken fillets, chicken drumsticks, chicken wings, loin chops, rack and land.
Right, I wrap it up. Let's go to the adjudicator.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
10.
Yeah. Well done, Marcus. Woo! Just packed your petrol on the way home. Good work.
Oh, lovely.
Get on you, Mark. Well done.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks.
Now, are you on holidays at the moment?
No, I'm not. I'm back now, but yeah.
Just having a day off.
Just having a quiet Monday.
No, I wish.
Aren't they catching plenty of whiting over there at the moment, Mark, or are you just not that good?
2 weekends ago, I bagged out 2 days in a row with big 45-centimetre ones.
Yeah. So what happened since? A bit windy, wasn't it, yesterday?
Yesterday was no good. Saturday was okay, but a bit of a dodge tide, if you know what that is. So not the best.
And all the right. Cox plate was on.
Yeah.
And the Cox plate.
Good on you, Mark. $1,000. Well done.
Beautiful. So
it's been a long time since we've given it away.
No, that was a good easy one, Ditz, for a Monday.
Yeah. Hey, in a moment, a big, big controversy about the royal family. And if you think, well, I'm not interested in the royal family, I think you will be in this story. This is shocking. It's terrible. We're going to head to the UK in just a moment and find out more. Ruin Ditz on Triple M.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One. Triple M.
7:47. Roo, impulse buys. How's this? Last night, The Block, which I haven't really seen, to be honest, but it was the finale last night.
Mm-hmm.
And Hughesy, I'm led to believe, just driving around and went, oh, there's a group of people there. I can see there's something going on there. There was an auction, and he just thought he'd buy it.
Josh and Elise have done such a good job, and you know, I fell in love with it, and here we are.
So,
yeah. So this is just, you know, this is the. They're all great houses, but here we are. It's always lingering around the outskirts of the property, and you know, I don't live too far away, so I was able to drive past and think, gee, it's a good spot, it's a good house, it's a good area, and
a good spot, a good house, a good area. I might just impulse buy that for just over $3 million.
Yeah, I'll just drop $3 million on a house that he reckons he's not living in either.
An investment property. Yeah. He has an investment property for $3 million.
Unbelievable.
to start telling a few gags. That is an amazing story, that one.
Stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Well, he does Breakfast Radio
as
well.
He's good. He's very good, Hughesy. But you don't often go and spend $3 mil on an impulse buy. You might buy a racehorse or if you've had a few drinks and say, yeah, I'm in.
Actually, I'm not trying to compare myself to Hughesy, but Kate and I bought our house. Honestly, we walked in. You know, I've talked a lot about the fact that we live in Harndorf. We walked in. Our sister-in-law said, look, there's a house. You've got open inspection. Go and have a look. We walked in. Honestly, I reckon 10 seconds into it, Kate said, right, let's buy it. Let's live it. And we did.
What? You hadn't even had an inspection or sussed it out and worked out what it's worth?
We walked in and went, wow, how good's this? And we looked at the bloke and said, how much? Yep, done. And we bought it.
Bought us.
I'm serious.
10 seconds.
That was it. We both, Kate looked at
it. And you hadn't
it.
Looked at it on the net before?
No. Our sister-in-law, my sister-in-law
said... So you hadn't even walked
out
the backyard?
No, but my sister-in-law said, go and look at this place up the road. It's unbelievable. We walked in and, yep, this will do. We
so
just
you've backed
it.
Your sister-in-law in, basically.
Straight away. So that was an impulse
buy. That's impulse buying. That is pushing the boundaries.
Impulse buy. The day you walked in and you said to me, you owe me X $1,000. I said, oh, yeah, why? I said, we've bought a racehorse. Like, not do you want to have a racehorse? Do you want to be involved in this racehorse?
I think I said you owe me $4,000.
You said to me, we're going to win the Port Lincoln Cup. I went, oh, yeah, righto. Anyway, we did.
Or we didn't. Actually, we won 2 Port Lincoln Cups.
Two. But that was a bit impulsive.
133353. Give us a quick buzz for impulse buys, purchases, whether it's $3 million or $3, doesn't matter. Whether you like Dave Hughes or Ditson and bought a house, give us a call, 133353.
Best caller. Triple M presents Paul Kelly, would you believe, Wednesday 22nd of November
beautiful.
At the Entsent. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketek, but for our best caller, we'll send you off to Paul Kelly. What a great concert that'll be. Impulse buys, give us a ring.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Impulse buys, can you knock Hughesy off, who bought the house on the block for over $3 million?
Just because he thought it was a good place and looked okay, and I might take that. Mm. Let's go to Queenstown. G'day, Doogie.
How are you, mate?
Good. What have you impulse bought?
I bought a HK GDS Monaro, mate, 1968.
How
impulsive
cheap...
was it?
Yeah, when?
Tell us the story.
I was driving along South Road and it was in a car yard and it had $8,000 written along the bonnet and on the windscreen. And I went past it and had a look at it and I walked inside and I said, yeah, I'll take it.
How all long right. ago?
It was about 16 years ago, mate.
Because what's it worth now?
It's insured for over 100.
Yeah, you've done very well.
Yeah, well done, Doogie.
Yeah, your wife can't have a go at you for that.
No.
If you got one.
Love stories like that. Yeah, well done.
Well
nice
done, buddy.
Rob at Shido Park. Hello, Rob.
How you going, boys?
Good. What was your impulsive buy?
Went out Sunday morning to get some bread and milk with the wife. Come home with a house and land package.
Right.
How did that happen?
Tell us, yeah.
She just said, let's go have a look at those new display homes. Yeah, bought one.
Right, eh?
Oh, gee whiz.
Must have been good.
Oh, yeah, the bread and milk was the dearest bread and milk I've ever bought.
Are you still living in it?
Still living in it, yep.
Oh, well done.
Well done. Good on you, Rob.
It was meant to be. Let's go to Dave. G'day, David.
G'day, boys. How are you, Roo? Hey, Ditz.
What have you bought?
Oh, look, a few years ago, my wife went to an auction, Kingscote Council, and she bought a 6-ton roller.
What's a 6-ton roller? What is that?
Oh, it gets towed behind graders or whatever, just rolls out, flattens out, pushes down the road surface.
Right.
Yeah, so
I take it you had a bumpy
roller.
Driveway, did you?
Well, we had a little block of land with a little scrub block, and she thought it might be good to roll out some paths.
Right. She didn't want to roll over you after what you'd done over the night before or something, did she?
Yeah. Came with 300 litres of diesel in it as well.
Oh, wow. Well, you got an absolute bargain then,
yeah,
Dave.
You're in
well
front.
Done.
Right, good on you, Dave.
Let's go to Salisbury. G'day, Trev.
G'day. Hey, guys. My wife is a squash player just like you, Dits, and she went out to buy a sports bra and came back with a caravan.
How did that happen?
Don't ask me. We just followed on this blind goose chase and... She told me she'd bought something and
then
I ended up at a caravan place.
Wow, what, your first caravan?
No, it was our second one. We're trading the other one in. We haven't had a trade-in price or anything.
Wow.
Right.
Are you happy with the purchase?
yes, it was very good in the end.
Good work, Trev. I'm after a sports bra. I might just go to Dave Benson Caravans. Yeah.
You might find a bra in a caravan or after you buy one.
But... Roo, who did you like? We've got to send someone off to see Paul Kelly.
Oh, I'm a Monaro fan. I've got to go for Dougie there.
Righto.
Doogie.
All right, this is Wednesday, the 22nd of November. Triple M presents Paul Kelly.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
On Triple M on this Monday morning, time to talk to one of our regulars. Now, Roo, stand-up comics in Australia. They're bloody out of control, aren't they?
Oh, they're loaded.
Hey, how much are they earning?
Bloody hell, plenty.
Hey, let's get Lawrence Mooney on. Good morning, Moon Man.
No, hey, guys, it's actually, it's Hughesy speaking. I was just in the area, just thought I'd drop $3 million on a house. Well, hey, I want you to be proud of yourselves on Triple A.
Moon Man, he said this is just a little investment property down the road. He's not even going to live in it.
Well, that's what you get when you don't smoke or drink or spend your dollars on the horses.
Yeah, I suppose.
Apparently, Hughesy bought his first house with cash.
Wow.
Oh, come on, Hughesy.
Yeah, I mean, oh, I'm just a regular guy. I'm from Warrnambool. So, you know, back off. Hey, Hughesy, piss off. Make the rest of us feel like losers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Did you get to see the Mighty Winx run on the weekend?
Oh, who didn't want to put down $1,000 to get $1.03 back? I mean, really.
That's right.
It's a great collect for the people, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. One to get your confidence up.
I did have a Winx experience. I did a gig for the Caulfield Cup this time last year when Winx was on two wins. I think it's 21 or 22 now. Yeah. And the trainer said, this is a horse that I have never experienced before. This is a supernatural event. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, mate, we've all heard that. Blah, blah, blah. And he said, seriously, if I was going to put my house on a horse, it's this horse. Is like, whatever. See you, mate. Anyway, should have listened.
22 wins later.
It's cynical. 22 wins later.
15 million later.
I was out shopping on Saturday with the wonderful Lulu and my youngest, and people were stopping in front of TVs, like TV was the first thing, and watching Winx just for the sake of it. They didn't look like punters, they just like looked like ordinary people watching the win. So it's a phenomenon, really, and great stuff too.
Yes, it was one of those events, there's no doubt about that.
You've been out for a family lunch, Moons.
Oh, my mum, Roo, turned 85 yesterday.
Gee.
Great effort.
Good on you, Olive. Terrific effort.
Olive.
Olive.
We don't meet too many Olives these days. That's a beautiful name.
Isn't it a terrific name, Olive? There's only, I think, olive oil from Popeye.
Yep.
And I can't name another one.
No.
I've got a mate who's got one.
Mm.
Right. So Olive turned 85. She took a tumble in the car park at Coles a couple of weeks ago. So she had the shiner was just coming down. And Mooney family lunches, my daughter came up to me. We were in a restaurant and she came up to me and she said, Dad, I've just stood on the other side of the restaurant. It sounds like everyone at our table is just screaming at each other. There's 13 people just speaking at once. It was a phenomenal day.
Was Olive leading from the front?
Olive, we packed her in a car about 4 o'clock. Blind! There's nothing like an 85-year-old who's already unstable on her feet. Hilarious.
I want to come to the next birthday. Hey, get on your Moon Man. Thanks for joining us. There he is, the one and only Lawrence Mooney. And I'd hope that we can catch up with Big Mal later in the week too, right?
Oh, he'll be on sure that'll Wednesday. Happen. Yeah, he's under the pump too, Big Mal, at the moment.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Triple M on this Monday morning. Roo, we're going to head down to the new RAH, the RAH down there, because we've been ripped off. Can you believe this? Let's find out why and how Channel 7 Sunrise reporter Amanda Backman. Amanda, good morning. Before we get to this, us being ripped off, is it hailing down there?
It has been hailing this morning. Let me tell you, there is no glamour in television when you are out and about on a morning like this. We've had hail, lightning, thunder. Yeah, pretty ordinary morning around in Adelaide.
Yes, but you TV stars, you've got someone standing there with a brolly hand over your top, haven't you? And, you know, keeping you warm.
Actually, this morning my cameraman has put up quite a neat setup where we've got an umbrella attached to a light stand. The only problem is that we've seen it turned inside out, we've seen it blown over. So, yeah, I wish there was someone here looking after me.
Yes. Now, why have we been ripped off? What's going on?
Well, ripped off is one way to look at it. But, I mean, basically what's happened is the Immunisation Coalition has come out and said, look, we've been using this $6 vaccination that really isn't as effective as it could be, particularly when it comes to protecting the elderly. Because I'm sure we all know somebody who has had the flu this season. It has been the worst on record with more than 217,000 cases. So we've been using this vaccine. But what the chief medical officer says is, well, that is what is available and what is registered in this country. Because for vaccinations to be used here, they have to go through a process. So there is an independent body that recommends them, and then they are approved and registered for use. And the other immunisations that are available, which are not that much more expensive, maybe $8, and are shown to be more effective, aren't registered here.
Hmm.
So at this moment, we can't use them.
Well, it sounds a bit stupid. Why wouldn't it be registered if that's what's needed?
Well, I think now the government is going to be looking at that. It's obviously going to meet with manufacturers and say, all right, can we get a stronger, more effective version? They're also looking at some other things, though, which I think could make a real difference. So because the elderly are so at risk, they're looking at perhaps making vaccinations compulsory for aged care workers. And as you know, here in South Australia, and they're doing it in other states as well, they're also looking to see whether it should be part of the childhood immunisation register. So kids will automatically get a flu jab when they get their other immunisations. We'll have to see whether that rolls out.
God, another immunisation can of worms. That'll be good. Yes.
Yeah, let's not open that door.
No. Hey, Amanda, thanks so much for joining us, and stay warm down there this morning.
Thank you.
Good on you. Channel 7 Sunrise reporter Amanda Backman. Roo, I've never, ever had a flu jab. Never. Have you?
Never. I think we did it for a while there at footy, and then I don't think it was compulsory, but yeah, you does get sick because that's what it gives you, the actual flu, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But why would they give you the one that doesn't work? Why wouldn't they pay more? And
is it cost cutting? That's right. Were they just trying to save money?
There's no point putting the $6.
And you know what? The people in charge of the RAR were right. They needed to stay shut for a bit longer because people were going to get sick.
They're going to get sick.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
They didn't want that.
No, they didn't.
People come down here saying they're crook. Cut it out.
God.
Only a hospital. What are we meant to do? 104.7 Triple M. Now, over the weekend, Roo, there was the Vegan Festival Adelaide down there in Victoria Square.
I've just discovered something, Dits.
What's that?
Australia is the third fastest growing vegan market in the world.
Wow. Well, there you go. That makes sense to have a festival.
And it was packed there. I went through it yesterday at around just before lunch, and both sides of Victoria Square were full.
All right. Let's find out more. What happens at a vegan festival? Lee is the director, and Lee joins us. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good. Lee, is this the first time we've held this in Adelaide?
No, it's been running since 2007.
2007, righto.
Numbers have just grown incredibly as increasing awareness worldwide for vegan compassionate lifestyles growing.
All right. So what happens at a vegan festival? What was the main crux of it?
I'm going to hope that it was the education and stuff, but mainly it was the food. People come for the food.
Righto. Now, educate us here, or certainly me anyway. What is a vegan? How do you describe a vegan?
A vegan is someone who wants to cause the least harm as they can to our planet and the creatures on it.
So how far do we go? And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, but I could argue that everything is a living thing. I mean, if you wanted to eat a plant, or if you wanted to eat any sort of legume or anything like that, they're all living things, aren't they, really?
But they're not sentient beings. They don't have feelings and feel pain and emotion like an animal does.
Right.
So what can't you eat then? Just give us just rule out all the things you can't eat if you're a vegan.
Okay. I think we'd like to choose the term that we won't eat. We don't want to eat.
Okay.
Dairy, anything dairy, eggs, any animal products, meat, fish, honey, anything that has caused any animal any pain and suffering.
Wow. So when you say dairy, so when we milk a cow, are you suggesting that is harmful and hurtful to a cow, is it?
Oh, it absolutely is. The dairy industry is one of the most horrible industries to our creatures, yes.
Right. Now, and again, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here. I actually just want to be educated. Isn't it natural when, say, chickens lay eggs? Isn't that just a natural happening or an event?
Perhaps if they were out happily walking around, yeah, but they they are cage farmed. Even something that says free range, actually, it can be within a barn, all clustered together. They are inhaling each other's toxins. Their beaks are clipped. It's just not a nice lifestyle. They are fed hormones in their food to grow at rapid rates.
Right.
It's not natural, the amount of eggs that they lay.
So is it more about animal activism rather than just healthy well-being? Is that what it's all about?
No, people come at it from very different angles. A lot of people would choose veganism because they care about the environment and the massive impact that animal agriculture has on our planet. A lot of the world's greatest athletes are choosing a plant-based diet. So health, environment, and ethical moral reasons.
How many vegans would there be in South Australia? Do you think, and how fast is it growing? If it's the third fastest in Australia, how many? You know, what sort of percentage rate is it growing?
I couldn't give you a percentage rate, but all I can say is going from the festival, for example, 2007. I think there are about 1,500 people attended. Yesterday we had close to 18,000.
18,000? Did you really?
Yes, we did. We are really? So excited.
Wow. Well, that's successful. That's brilliant. Now,
it
Lee.
Is successful Lee. In...
Yep. Go on. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Lee, just give me an idea. What would you eat for breakfast this morning? Give me an idea of a vegan meal.
This morning I'll probably just grab a smoothie because I've got to go back onto site and clean up.
All right.
It's just so easy. A standard cereal, but using a plant-based milk instead of a cow milk.
Okay.
Scrambled tofu is my personal favourite.
Scrambled tofu. Now,
oh,
come on,
amazing.
Lee. Seriously, am I going to
so
scramble
good.
Tofu?
Do you have sauce on that? Or
go and see Bob Bowles at Plant 4 and try scrambled tofu.
Hang on, where
he'll
do I go? What's
Bob
the best?
Bowles.
What's the best vegan restaurant in Adelaide?
I can't say. There's so many. It's
so
just
many.
Amazing. We
Give
have
us the top three.
So many.
Oh, all right, Lee. Can we have
Give
dinner with you
three.
One day?
Sorry?
Can we have dinner with you one day, Lee, and you can educate us about what I could eat for, you know, a vegan meal?
I would love to take you out for dinner and educate you, yes.
All right, that'd be great. Roo, and I, we're going to go and have dinner with Lee.
You are?
No, we all are.
Okay, we all are then.
All right, and Lee, you can educate us about what... quickly, what would you like to have for dinner tonight? If you could think of your best vegan meal, what would it be?
I'm really needing a hearty meal at the moment. I've been working so hard. So a pasta meal. A pasta wheel with an amazing, creamy sauce,
okay.
But made from coconut cream.
You're right. Now, isn't pasta made from eggs?
Not all pasta. Most pasta is based from a wheat.
Okay.
She got you there.
All right, you know your stuff, Lee. Yeah, you got me there. All right, thanks for joining us, and well done.
Well
that
done.
Sounds like your weekend was very successful. Well done.
Thank you so much.
There you go,
well
Lee.
Done, Lee.
She's the director of the Vegan Festival. There you go, Roo.
Answered all our questions perfectly.
Indeed. I'm going to have weeds for lunch.
What? That'd be stupid.
What? It's about all you can eat.
Have some scrambled tofu.
Scrambled tofu with my weeds. All right, there you go. Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Roo, terrible story coming out of the UK. It involves the royal family. Let's go to our correspondent, Gavin Gray, for more. Gavin, good morning. What is the story with little Prince George?
Yeah, good morning to you both. Well, Prince George is being targeted on the messaging app Telegram by none other than Islamic State fanatics who have made some pretty chilling threats against him. They're effectively saying that... at his new school, which is called Thomas's in Battersea, South London, they've said basically, along with sharing the school's address with the public, although that's wide knowledge, they've commented school starts early and even the royal family will not be left alone, along with a rather worrying message from a song that translates, at least the translation I've got, as "When war comes with the melody of bullets, we descend on disbelief, desiring retaliation." Now, the security at the school has been stepped up massively, but after about 2 weeks when he was there, a stranger was found walking along the corridor. So I imagine after this, it's really going to be stepped up.
Yeah, I know you can't take them lightly, but are they... likely to go that low and start targeting kids?
Well, we are getting, it's supposed to be, some 400 Islamic State fighters returning back to the UK now that Raqqa and the sort of last areas of Islamic State strongholds in Syria and Iraq have been dismantled. And of course, the big fear is they will remain radicalized and remain violent. So although you would hope not, I mean, this is just a little boy who's just started his first school. Of course, he would represent a very significant target, ruined it. So I'm afraid they must be taking this very seriously.
What do you mean 400 fighters are returning? How are they allowed to return?
Yeah, well, very good point, actually. And there's been a big debate in this country about what to do with them. Because, of course, it's difficult to prove that somebody has been out and about fighting for Islamic State. Many of them changed their name and used to wear sort of masks and scarves to cover their identity in photos and social media postings. One security analyst has actually suggested that there's no point in trying to prosecute them because that'll try to radicalize them further. There's been a report out today suggesting the government is actually looking at helping those returning get jobs, get a foot on the social housing ladder to help get them going in that sense and, to reintegrate them into society. But another MP has said, you know what, we'd be better off if they actually died fighting than they would be if they were coming back. So it's a big debate in this country, as I'm sure it is around the world, what to do with these returning fanatics.
Buy them some guns and grenades while you're at it.
Yeah, well, this is the big question, and this is why I think the next few months right across the world, Australia, but in particular Europe, is going to be very much on tenterhooks about what these returning people are going to do and have they been desensitized to violence. Telegram itself, incidentally, really criticized for this, being branded a breeding ground for terrorism. And of course, it was the same encrypted messaging app that spread propaganda before the 2015 Paris attacks. And Islamic State also used the app to basically recruit those that carried out the attack in Berlin last year. You'll remember the attack on the Christmas market. So
yep.
I'm afraid, this particular messaging app is well used by Islamic State.
Gavin, just a final question. I know there was a lot of publicity surrounding Prince George's first day at school, and we saw his father drive him there. This must be a massive exercise every single morning for him to get to school. How in fact, do you happen to know this? How is he getting to school each day, and what sort of protection is there?
Yeah, being driven different routes, I'm told, each morning, and of course not normally by his parents. Kate, who has been suffering from this severe morning sickness, is now slightly better. I'm told that she has been doing the run once or twice. Prince William, as you say there, did the run on the first day and has done it since. Of course, always, whether it's with them or not, they are in the protection of the Royal Protection Squad, and that is not a single car. That'll be two or three cars going together, often blacked out windows, often rather incognito. They won't be terribly flash vehicles, with sirens going. These will be rather mingling.
Yep.
But the journey from Kensington, where they are, Kensington Palace to Battersea, in the morning can be extremely congested.
All right. Good on you, Gavin. Thanks so much for joining us. Gavin Gray, our UK correspondent. Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Ruined It's for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
7:21, Ruined It's here on Triple M on this Monday morning. Ru, every now and then we read a story and you think, this lad's going to go far.
Yep.
We've uncovered a genius.
Yeah, I'd like to track him for sure.
Yeah, so anyway, there's this young lad, primary school lad.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's done is he's gone on a dating site.
All right.
And paid a lady to come along to parent-teacher night and pretend to be his mum.
Very proud of this kid.
How good is that?
He's a thinker.
Yeah.
Because he's only 10 or 11 or 12, obviously, if he's at primary school.
So he's clearly said, I'm in the poo. Just pretend to be my, just pretend to get dark with me. And
Mum's not going to tell the teacher what I want to hear.
That's right.
So I'm going to pay a girl to come along and look like my mum.
This boy is a genius.
Yep, very clever. Yep. Good thinking from a youngster.
No doubt about it. How did your parent-teacher nights go over? Did you hire a model or anything to come along?
Because there's plenty of them up at Waker, isn't there, that you can just ring up and get on the line. But it was all pretty tame back then, back up in the bush, because everyone, your parents knew your teacher, so you couldn't get away with it anyway.
Yeah, you're right. What about your kids?
Well, I guess we're talking about being proud of this kid for having a bit of a good brain. I know last year my lad got in a bit of trouble at school.
Which one?
the oldest one,
Nick. He is a bit of a character.
And he got a letter to bring home to us to explain what trouble he was in. But he thought he'd sort of redirect that mail.
Where to?
The bin.
Oh, right. So he filed it.
He ripped it up and filed it away into a bin. But what he didn't know was that when they give a letter to go to the parents, they also send an email to mum and dad just in case the little entrepreneurial kid decides to take other arrangements.
Yeah.
So Sarah picked him up and said to all the kids, "Dad, you going, kids? You had a good day?" "Yep." Mm. Everyone goes, "Yep, yep, yep." And then Sarah just gives it a minute or so and then says, "What about you, Nick? Did you have a good day?" And he said, "Yep, yep, 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 yep." And then he ended up admitting he might have done something wrong. And but we had people around for tea that night, and I just had a beer and I was talking to them. And I think everyone could tell I was a little bit proud of my son that day. I thought that's a good little thing to do.
Throw it in the bin.
Yeah, you try and get away with it.
Yeah. No, the only thing I did sort of, I got a fair list, but I got sick of getting the strap from old brother Delicious, so I thought I'd bring the strap home.
Knocked off the strap?
Knocked it off, yeah. I thought I've had a gutful of this, yeah.
So what, did you go to the drawer and it wasn't there?
Yeah. So I put an end to that, and I was
Delicious knew that you took it.
No, he had no idea. But all my mates did. I was a popular kid for a while. Mm. Yeah, thanks for doing that.
Did you?
It was a gutsy move. I had to go up to his desk, get it, put it in my school bag, and take it home.
And rely on all the other kids not to dob on you.
Yeah, yeah,
that would have been.
Yeah, and the other thing I used to do actually, which I thought was quite entrepreneurial, was I used to pay kids to do my homework for me, because mum and dad owned the corner deli, so I used to say, look, lollies. You know, chocolate bars, what do you want? And in return, do my assignment, do my homework.
God, you did some stock take there.
No problem whatsoever.
You did a lot of stock taking there for mum.
Yeah, so I was into bartering early on in life.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it got me through.
Paid off.
Got me through.
Now you're in radio.
I used to say to them, don't make it too good. Don't do the homework too well. Like, don't be stupid. Mm. Don't get me an A or anything,
because they'll
smell a rat.
And you'd have to keep up
with it. Make it about a B-. Yeah. A few spelling mistakes.
Yeah.
And we'll be right.
So this kid, very, very clever.
I like him. I like him already. Mm. Yeah, good stuff. Ruined it's here
too
on Triple
M. Made the paper and he's been busted.
That's right. Ruined it's on Triple M.
Get Ruined Dits for breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.